Philippians 2, he says, you know, he's concerned about sending somebody to Philippi to encourage them. And he says in verse 19, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you because I don't have anybody else of kindred spirit, that means who's got the same spirit as me, who will... There are two qualities that he points out in Timothy. One, he'll genuinely be concerned about your welfare. In other words, when he comes to serve you and not just preach to you, but shepherd you and care for you, he's not going to think of himself. He's going to be concerned about your welfare. Now, most preachers, when they preach, they're thinking of themselves. I'll tell you this. Most, I would say 90%, they think of, how am I coming across? Am I impressing people with my message? Do people appreciate what I'm saying? Will they recognize that I have an anointing? To think like that is to be carnal. A lot of people think like that. But when Timothy spoke, he was genuinely concerned about the welfare of the people. He wasn't thinking what other people thought about his message or how well he preached. He was concerned that people should receive what God had for them. And when he went to serve them, he was thinking of the welfare of others. And secondly, he says in verse 21, all the others are seeking their own, not the things of Christ Jesus. They're not thinking of how Jesus Christ can be glorified, but something for themselves. Maybe they want to retain their position as an elder. You know, a person can be an elder, and he wants to be very careful that Paul does not remove him from eldership. So, just don't do anything seriously wrong, so that I continue to be an elder till the end of my life. Those are the most useless elders in the church. They are Babylonian elders. And may God save CFC from having such elders who are only interested in their position and retaining their throne. In the Old Testament, you read an example like that in Saul. King Saul, he was a very humble person when he started. If you read there in the Old Testament, God himself selected Saul to be the king. And the Holy Spirit came upon him. Samuel said to Saul these amazing words, when the Spirit of God has come upon you, you will be changed into another man. You read in 2 Samuel chapter 9. And chapter 10, you see the history of Saul there. And then when they wanted to select the king, they did it by lots, and God made sure the lot fell upon Saul's family and his name was selected. And when they looked for him, you know, this is the first king being appointed in Israel. What an honor. When they looked for him, they couldn't find him. Samuel had already told him, you're going to be the king. He should have been the one standing in the front row waiting for his name to be called. You know, that's how a lot of people are today. They're always in the front waiting for their name to be called. But Saul was not like that. He was there hidden somewhere. They looked around for him and they couldn't find him. And it says that finally they found him in the midst of some suitcases and baggage people had kept there who had traveled there, and he was hiding underneath there. He had no desire for position. And yet the same man in about 2 years had turned and changed. The way God blessed him went to his head and ruined him. God took away the kingdom from him. And Samuel said to him, God is looking for another man. A man after his own heart. You're not a man after his own heart. A man after God's own heart is a very humble man. You know, Jesus was like that, and David was like that. But Saul refused to give up the throne. He sat there for more than 30 years, even though he had lost the anointing. There are elders like that. They lost the anointing, but because they were always there from the beginning, they continue. And Paul had people like that among his co-workers who were seeking their own. And that's not the type of generation that leaders we want in the next generation. We want folks like Timothy. And I pray that from your midst, God will raise up godly men, young men like Timothy, who seek nothing for themselves, who can stand before God in secret and say, God, my Father, you know my heart. I seek nothing for myself. Nothing. I don't want honor. I don't want recognition. I don't want appreciation. I don't want anything. I'm genuinely concerned about the welfare of others. And whatever price I have to pay to seek their welfare, I'm ready to do it. It's not an easy thing to be an elder in a church. It requires a lot of sacrifice in secret. It requires a lot of times to be spent in counseling people who have struggles in their personal life, young people who have struggles, married couples who have struggles. Many of you brothers don't know how many hours and hours and hours godly elders have to spend in counseling people when you can use that time to enjoy yourself or spend time with your family. They've also got families. They have to deny it. The families of many elders have to sacrifice time. The wives have to sacrifice the time they could spend with their husbands. The children have to sacrifice the time they could have spent with their fathers. Because the father is an elder, the husband is an elder, and he has to counsel needy people, and the church is always full of needy people. And then people create a mess by their foolishness, and the elders have to come and sort it out. That's why whenever I appoint elders in our churches, I say, I hereby appoint you as toilet cleaners, lest you get some exalted opinion about who you are. You're a toilet cleaner, a spiritual toilet cleaner. You'll be in a church where many believers are making a mess and they don't know how to clean it up. Just like little children who go to the toilet and don't know how to flush it. And sometimes it just piles up and you've got to put your hand in it to clear it out. That's the type of mess elders have to clear out. Many long hours. And I'm telling you from 40 years of experience that that's what I've had to do in many, 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 many CFC churches in the last 40 years. Because people are babies, and some people never grow up. What do you do? Despite all the preaching that they hear, there are married couples who still fight with each other. They just don't seem to take God's word seriously. They appreciate a lot of good things in CFC church and say, oh, we like to be a part of this church. But they don't take seriously the message they hear, and then the elders have to go in and try to sort out their problems. So we need faithful men. Not men who are going to become servants of others that they have no time, and who have wisdom to know the balance. There are times when we have to say to people, well, I'm sorry, I don't have time right now. We need wisdom. We're not slaves of people. We don't neglect our families. An elder who neglects his family is going to lose his ministry. I've always said that the church is a three-story building. The foundation is God's perfect love for us. If you're not sure of that, don't even try to preach or do anything for the Lord. You've got to be absolutely sure of God's perfect love for you as a father. That's the foundation. And on that, I have to build a ground floor, or what others call a first story, where I walk with God with a clear conscience before God and man. That's walking in the light. That's the number one requirement once we've laid the foundation. A And on top of that comes the second story where I live in a godly way with my wife and bring up my children in godly ways. And then on top of that, I can build a church. So if you don't have the foundation, you don't have the first story and the second story, you cannot build the church. You can build something which people call a church. It won't be the church that Jesus wants. It won't be a church that the gates of hell cannot overcome. It will be a church which is overcome by the gates of hell. So it's very important that we recognize this balance. We are genuinely concerned for the welfare of others. We don't seek our own in anything. By not seeking our own does not mean, as I said, we neglect our family, but we don't seek our own honor. The great need for an elder is to have wisdom, to know how to balance my time between my secular work, my family, and my ministry. Now, a lot of people, it's just their secular work and their family, but for an elder, it's the secular work and the family and the ministry. He needs to recognize that balance.